Our reading this week is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it's the whole chapter. And if you're using the Church Bible, you'll find it on page 1190. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting with request for prayer. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And warning against idleness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, labouring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. And final greetings. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Again, I'm going to be a good husband and pay attention to my wife. Try to speak loud so you can hear me, slow so you can follow me. I'm also being a very good boy today because I was going to come and preach with jeans. And my wife said, no, you cannot go to church with jeans. You cannot preach from the pulpit with jeans. And I said, well, I don't see anything wrong in it. And no. So I put another trousers. So I hope you agree with that as well. Thank to the Lord for the wives sometimes. But it is true, you know. Those of us who have been married for a long time, we can say that the Lord has used them sometimes to put us in the right direction. And the church said amen. Yes? Can you say amen? At least the ladies usually say amen to this thing. Anyway, we have seen this passage. We have looked at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We are going now to the end. All kinds of interesting things. Now, we are coming to the last chapter. And here in this last chapter, the Apostle Paul goes to the nitty-gritty of Christian living. He's not talking so much about theology, but he goes to the nitty-gritty. Let's try to put into action those things we already know by heart. We can be incredibly good from the pulpit, those of us who preach, but can we put in action what we preach? This is the whole point. We can be fantastic theologians and write books, but can we walk the talk? I think that's the phrase you use in English, yes? Can we walk the talk? It's such a good phrase. So about prayer, I have said very often that we should use some of the Apostle Paul's prayers or some of the prayers we find in the Bible to guide us. And here the Apostle Paul is telling us things which are very important. You can tell a lot about a church by what the church prays for. I'm going to say that again because it's very important. You can tell a lot about a church for what is the things that the church prays for. There is nothing wrong in praying for good health. There's nothing wrong in praying for jobs, for a partner, for good relationships. I have been asked all kinds of things over the last 30 years to pray for. I remember an interesting one is this man, a very wealthy man with a big fishing boat, massive ones. They go all around the world fishing. And he was going to have a new one. And he said, you know, would you come and pray for my boat? Would you bless my boat so when they go out, he's going to do a lot of fishing? And I said, okay, yes, I have no problem, you know, to pray for the safety of the people who are going to be on the boat. Pray for a wedding, that the weather may be good. I remember once a young lady coming to talk to me after the service. I had been preaching on the second coming of the Lord. And she came to talk to me very upset and crying. And I said, you know, why are you crying? I thought the message had impacted her heart. And she said, no, it's because I don't want the Lord to come this year. And I said, why not? Because I am getting married. So will you pray that the Lord doesn't come this year? And I said, well, that's a difficult one. But, you know, all kinds of things. And in fact, the Apostle Peter tells us that cast all your anxiety, cast them to him, the Lord, because he cares for you. Of course, the Lord Jesus cares for our wedding day, that it may be sunny if it's possible, although in this country I find it quite difficult. Of course, we can pray for illness when we feel, or when we feel low, or when we feel lonely. Of course, the Lord cares for every single thing, because He's the Lord, He's our Father. But there is something that the Apostle Paul here points as this is the heart of the prayers that we should have in our church and in our lives. And the heart is that the gospel may increase, that the gospel may really have a power and an impact on our society. We pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. As you see, this is happening exactly the same happens with you, Thessalonians. Now, I don't know about your prayer life, but are you praying? Is this part of the heart of your prayers? Apart from your personal prayers on personal issues, do you pray to the Lord that the message of the Lord Jesus, that the gospel may have an impact in your city? Is this part of your prayers? Because this is the heart of the gospel. Last Monday, we had a prayer service for those who are very sick in our church. very sick. Fantastic time of prayer. We had around 100 people here praying. And it's good to do it. I wonder how many people will come to pray one Monday evening if we say, will you come so that people may not die in their sins? May you come to pray for my children that are no believers, or my husband, or my wife. Will you come on Monday to pray once a month or to pray for my neighbor or the person who sits next to me in my job? My nephew, my grandson. Would you come as well? But this is the heart of the gospel, you know? And this is why the Apostle Paul comes to at the end, trying to compact everything that he has been preaching through the last chapters of Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, you pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, and be honored. Is the gospel being honored in Bristol? I have members of my family who are not believers. We pray every day for our grandson, that he may know the Lord. But it's the only thing that matters, really, finally. I have visited many people dying in hospital, many people. What a difference is to visit somebody who is dying knowing the Lord and somebody who is dying without knowing the Lord. You know, have you had this experience? I have seen complete people in desperation because this is the end. I have nothing after this. Very fearful of the future. And I have known people who have died and really with enormous hope of the Lord. So that's why I said before, we can tell a lot about a church by what the church prays for. Yes, cast all your anxiety on the Lord because he cares for you. Yes, but also the Lord cares for thousands and millions of people around us. Does he? Yes, the heart of the prayers, of our prayer, should be the advance of the kingdom of God. And he also prays, I'm just jumping, otherwise I couldn't finish the sermon today. He prays that in verse 3, protect you from the evil one. It's another prayer that I do very often. He's not praying that we should be delivered from illness or from hardship. For the Lord says, if you follow me, you will be persecuted as they persecute me. So he's not praying for that. He's praying that the Lord will deliver us and free us from the hand of the evil one, which is different. From the hand of the evil one. And I pray like that also for us and our family and the church. One day, we were in Spain, and I was taking the children to school. Very early in the morning, on the motorway, and this lorry came out of nowhere without doing the proper stop, right in the middle. And I couldn't stop. I stopped, but the car just went right into the middle of the lorry and just went underneath the lorry. By roughly this half a meter, roughly, we were not killed, decapitated. Anyway, at the end of the day, we go home, and like we did every day, we pray for our children before they went to bed. And our youngest son says, Dad, I say, yes. He was around 8 or 9 years old, and he said, Dad, every day we pray, deliver us from the evil one. And today we had this accident. So the Lord didn't answer our prayers. And I say, well, we are alive. The car is in a mess. we are alive. But the prayer of the Lord is, deliver us from the hand of the evil one, from the devil himself. This is really what the text is. Deliver us from the hand of the devil. Then the Apostle Paul goes into something which is practical. He's like, follow me, follow my example. How many years have you been a Christian? For what I see, mainly on white hair or no hair, I will say that you've been a Christian for quite a long time. 10, 20, 30, 50 years, maybe all your life. So can you tell younger people, follow my example? You think about that. Can you tell others? Can you tell other Christians around you? Can you tell your children, your grandchildren, follow my example? Exactly the same as the Apostle Paul here. You follow my example. Verse 7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. You follow my example. Can you show others how to handle life when life is difficult? And you tell them, follow my example? When life is difficult, not when things go beautifully well. Can you tell other people, follow my example on perseverance? Follow my example on how to pray. Follow my example on forgiveness, how I forgive people who had harmed me. Can you say that to the people? Follow my example. This person did that to me, and I have forgiven this person. Can you say that? Follow my example. The people, the believers in Thessalonica, they were following Paul's example on all these issues. Follow my example on how to bear witness of Christ. Follow my example on how to use money wisely. How to treat those people around me or in my church who are disagreeable, who are difficult to put up with because of their character, because they are different from us. Follow my example on how to forgive people, how to love people. Follow my example. How a difficult thing to do. Can we do that after so many years of being believers? Can you really say to others, follow my example? There are a few things to copy from the Apostle Paul in the text. Is, for instance, one of them is not to be idle, not to be a burden to anybody, to be sensitive. He says, you know, we have worked for the kingdom of God, we have worked for you and for your church, but we never wanted to be a burden to you. What an example to follow. We have the right, as servants of the Lord, to be supported by you, but we haven't done it. As an example to you. Don't be busybodies. You are much better than me in English. Another word for busybody, please. I have few translations, but just tell me one. Interferer, another one. Gossiper. Nosy Parker, that's a good one. I had another one translation for me is, don't be a pain in the neck to others. Don't be a pain in the neck. Don't put your nose in somebody else's life. Just care about your own life, that is enough. Don't go around telling people what to do or not to do. We all make that mistake sometime or another, don't we? And the congregation say amen. If you were Pentecostal, you will say amen to the preacher. Because it is true, sometimes we have said things to other people on how to run their lives, which is not right. Busybodies. The Apostle Paul says, don't be busybodies, please. Just care for your own business. Put yourself to work. Keep busy, but not with somebody else's life. Follow my example, says the Apostle Paul. And final greetings from the Apostle Paul, from his own hand. Now, he says, verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself be with you. Peace at all times and in every way. Peace with you. Have you got peace with yourself? Is anything that troubles you, that takes away the inner peace? What is that thing that takes away the inner peace? Peace with yourself. Peace with others. Peace at all times. We can only have peace with others, peace with ourselves, and peace at all times if we really experience peace with God. And this is a fantastic prayer as well. Lord, I want to have peace in myself. Lord, help me to have peace with others. Lord, help me to have peace with everything at every time. And there are so many things in our lives that take away our peace. So many things. I'm concerned for my children and grandchildren, like many of you. The decisions they make, sometimes we don't agree with the decisions, and that takes away our inner peace. We are concerned for financial issues. Some of you are retired, maybe because the retirement is not big enough to help you through the week or through the month, so it takes away your inner peace. Maybe because of some of your relationships are not going very well, so that takes away your inner peace. Now may the Lord of peace himself be with you and give you peace. What a fantastic prayer. What a fantastic desire. In a world which every time is more and more trouble. I'm not sure whether it's just my opinion, but we are in such a big mess. One of the top historians in the world has written recently, we are in probably one of the most troubled and uncertain times in history. Peace at all times. This is an impossibility, isn't it? I have tried for a long time and I have failed. So you have my mercy. I preach from the perspective of experience. I haven't done it. I have failed. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't carry on praying to the Lord. Lord, help us to have inner peace. Help us to have peace in all times. Help us to be at peace with everybody, even those who are a pain in the neck. Even those who disagree with us. Lord, I want to have peace. I want to spread peace to everybody around me. No anger. No sadness. But peace. It's such a beautiful experience when you go around giving peace to people. May the peace of God be with you, brother and sister. Peace with our own conscience. Sometimes our conscience troubles us, and that takes away our inner peace. So the Apostle Paul says, yes, may the Lord himself give you peace. Because there are issues which only God can give us peace. At least that's my experience. Only the Lord can give us peace. And help us to have peace with others. Especially others who have harmed us in one way or another. John Newton, this ex-slave trader, wrote, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what one day I will be. But I am not what I was once. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And when you hear these words of a slave trader, you think there's still hope for each one of us. For the Lord is still working in us daily. In us daily. This is God. So we can all say exactly the same as John Newton. I am not what I ought to be, Lord. I know that. And I'm not what I want to be. I want to be different. I want to change this and I want to change that. But I also know that I am not what one day I will be, for you are going to transform me completely to the image of Christ. But I know that by the grace of God, I am not what I was in the past. For I have seen the Holy Spirit working in me. Have you? And we can say to that, yes, amen. Of course, I am not what I was. Of course, I have seen changes in my life. Of course, the Holy Spirit is still working in me. He hasn't given up. We give up, but not the Lord. The Lord never gives up. That's his promise. I will transform each one of you to be like Christ. What an incredible promise. What an amazing promise. I think it's a much bigger promise, and that's my opinion. It's a much bigger promise than forgiveness of sins, you know. You know what it is to be like Christ? Each one of you like Christ? C.S. Lewis writes, it's a bit complex, especially for a Spaniard to read C.S. Lewis, but anyway, that if we saw one of us, how we are going to be transformed in heaven by God, if we saw each one of us, how the transformation is going to take place through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will bow down and worship. So I see Lucy in heaven, and it's going to be such an incredible transformation that I will bow down and say, wow, what is this? How can it be? The Lord says he will be done to each one of us. What an amazing transformation. May the peace of God be with you and with me. I'm going to finish in prayer, and then we'll have another hymn. So Lord, thank you for this morning and thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you as well for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, forgive me for the things I have said, I have done. Lord, forgive me for the things that maybe I haven't shown enough love and compassion. Lord, I pray that the peace of God may be with us all, under every condition, good or bad. So, Lord, bless us, each one of us, and bless our children and family and grandchildren to the third generation, so all of them may be safe. Thank you for your goodness and your patience. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we are going to have the last hymn.